after you hear the little, there we go.
Okay. Hello, I'm Doreen, an alcoholic, a chaos creator, and an adult child. Thank you so much for the invitation to speak about conduct inventory. And what a great introduction to this meeting. That was really beautiful and clear. I really enjoyed that. I completely forgot that I was doing this today. Lonnie asked me a long time ago, and I was very excited about it. Completely forgot about it until yesterday. So I was looking over some of my notes. And the first thing that came to me when I was writing about it this morning is, I wish for a lot of people's sake that we communicated the message. Once we've been through this, we communicated the message more clearly that this is an ongoing process, that we don't do inventory and then all of our relationships are magical and wonderful from this point out, and we never struggle with them again, and our marriages are great, and our friendships are wonderful, and our families transform, and there's never a need to do conduct inventory again. I wish that were true. It's not in my experience, but I also wish that I, as a sponsor taking people through the steps, could do that without discouraging people from actually going through the process in the first place. As if it's not going to get better, why should I do it? Which is not what happens. It does get immensely better. And as an example out of my own experience, my mother and I had a very, very difficult relationship when I was younger. I came into the program when I was 21 and wasn't really speaking to her, except to ask her for money once in a while. And I was living in another state. She was worried about me. She didn't know the extent of my drinking or my behavior. And even though this is it's called in the book the sex inventory, or how we refer to it as a sex inventory, it's really what I've come to learn through the Big Book Awakening is that it's really an inventory about how I conduct myself in relationships, not just in my manipulation and romantic pursuit of certain relationships, but all relationships, because some of them have very common characteristics. And so with her, I had played out my difficult relationship with her and what I felt was her inability to be the mother that I wanted over and over again in my life, and blamed her for a lot of things. So when I got here and we were doing this type of inventory, I had already done inventory on her in traditional AA. When I got here and I started to look at the Big Book Awakening, it offered me a new level of freedom. And most of that came not from the inventory itself, but from the ideal that we got to write after. The ideal is a tool that I have found useful, not just in conduct inventory, but in anything I want to accomplish and I know I can't in my life. So right now I have an ideal for how I want my job search to go. And it doesn't mean that I get to write out this sort of, here's what I want for Christmas list. If you haven't done an ideal for anything except the conduct inventory, it is how I would like to show up, but I know that I can't without a power greater than myself. And so that has been immensely helpful. And after I did my inventory with my mom and on my mom, and then created the ideal of what I hoped our relationship could be like in the future, how I would like to show up for her in the future. Tyler advised me to go ahead and make the amends. I made the amends, and my mom's response to my amends at that time was how I could make it up to her was to some of you have heard this already, to accompany her on a 3-state drive to move her from Arizona to Washington. And I mean, I will tell you, there is nothing, I have not balked at anything in my life the way I balked at that suggestion. And thank God I had heard lots of times in BBA about, you know, not responding to an amends request right in that moment, unless you feel, you intuitively feel like it's the right thing. Like if you have any hesitation at all, you just, you sit and you pray for a second and then respond with, I'd like to talk that over with my sponsor. I'll get back to you. So that's what I did. And when I went back and I was talking it over with Allie and Tyla, they were both like, well, that's what she wants. So you're going to have to do that. And I was like, we will kill each other. There's no way this is going to work. And Tyler was like, no, honey, you're good. You've done a lot of work. It'll be fine. Finish with the rest of your amends and let us know how it goes. And I felt completely abandoned by these two women that they were going to make me do this. And I tell you that I did have the good fortune of being able to complete the rest of my amends before I went on this trip with my mom. And it was beautiful. We had a great time, completely unexpected, but we had a great time. We got into one argument about food at just one part of the trip. And after that, it was almost normal. And I did not expect that, but it was a very clear example of how I cannot show up to fulfill my part of the bargain. I can't show up with this ideal and with self-knowledge or with self-will force myself to carry it out. It has to come from a power greater than me. So I could not have showed up with my little suitcase at my mom's house, ready to go on this trip, if this was simply a matter of me showing up better, of me being a better person, of me watching my behavior, of me biting my tongue, of withholding criticism, of doing it all myself. And this has been the case over and over and over again. I can't do this with my mind. I can't do this on my own willpower. And the conduct inventory, because we're always going to be in relationship with someone or something, I feel like this is some of the most critical inventory that there is. And it's also true. I went through the Stones workshop a little while ago last year, and there's a lot he talks about in, if you come from if you have a complicated relationship with yourself, if you have lived for years in shame, in disappointment with yourself, maybe you're punishing yourself for something that you did or didn't do in the past around relationship. If some early event caused you to have a certain opinion of yourself that has perpetuated itself throughout time that wasn't your fault, then this can be a place that I come to with a lot of judgment and self-loathing and hatred of myself and other people. I can come here as a victim and as someone who thinks they need to be fixed. And he's very generous about how he evolved in this type of approach to himself, how we not only learn through this process, through trusting this power, that this is not a place for that kind of thoughts, for that kind of belief, but it's also a real opportunity to learn how to not show up like that for sponsees, so that when a sponsee comes to me and they might, I had one sponsee who had been institutionalized. She was, she had she was only 15, and she had a really tragic history. So she's in this institution and we're doing her steps, and she gets out and she can't, you know, like, I don't know if you've had this experience, but I did. You can't stop seeking attention from people. Even when she doesn't want to be with someone, her need for external validation overpowers and overwhelms all the senses that she has and anything she's learned in recovery. And so we talked about it, and it was one of those really brilliant moments of the kind that Bill describes. Self-knowledge is not the answer. She knew what was wrong. She knew that this was an effort to be validated. She knew all those things, and yet that didn't change her pursuit of this type of behavior to make her feel better. And that was my story as well. This approval seeking that comes with growing up in a world in which you think that is the answer, and constantly running from this shadow self that is all of your greatest fears combined into one thing, and how far and how fast I will try to outpace that. And we finally got to this place where we're writing out her ideal, and she was for a moment just completely open to not judging herself. What she said later was, when she saw that I was not going to judge her for being who she was and, you know, going from person to person, and, you know, sometimes within a matter of a couple of days, when she saw that I wasn't going to judge her, it gave her a little bit of space to then not judge herself so harshly. And it was just a very gradual evolution into the young woman that she eventually became, who could decide for herself who she was going to choose as a partner and who she wasn't, when and how, and all of those things, and to respect herself enough to not come at every encounter with a bunch of shame and self-loathing. And we saw that as huge progress. And I see that in every relationship as huge progress. I have been the type of person who's, I guess, I don't know if you guys have had this experience, but this sense of like, I don't choose jobs, relationships, friends, situations so much as I feel they choose me, because I've been so afraid in the past of saying, I want this, and then going to get it and failing and feeling so bad about not being able to get it. And I would much rather be the pursued than be the pursuer of anything. That's safe. It's much safer for me than doing the pursuing. And what this ideal forces me to do is say, here's how I'm going to show up. Here's how I now believe I do deserve these good things, this blessing, this ability, because I can't show up as a good listener without God's help. I just can't. I can't show up without the compulsion to show you how right I am without God's help. I can't show up generous or empathetic without God's help, because all I want to look out for is, number one, I don't want to get hurt. I don't want anything bad to happen. I just want to be in control all the time, left to my own devices. And that the only answer I have found for that is by accessing this power greater than me that guides me to show up in a different way. And all I really have to do is write the stuff down do my daily spiritual practices, which look different every day sometimes, be as honest as I can in this inventory process, and give thanks. That one probably came last, the ability to say thank you. And not because I'm especially rude or anything. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I think that comes from this long-standing belief that if I acknowledge I have something good, it's going to be taken away. And so if I don't acknowledge that anything good has happened or that I possess anything good, then I don't have to worry about it ever going away. And so that kind of cuts me off from being able to acknowledge something beautiful and gorgeous and lovely and stunning has happened in my life. And all of those things have and are happening. They're happening today. Even if I take my good little dog out for a walk and he throws himself down on the ground and rolls around on his back and does this whole, like, I don't even know what that's called. I call it roly-poly, but whenever he does that, it's like, yes, that is joy. That is love. And that is an example of what I get to be present for today by following a few simple rules, by picking up this simple spiritual kit and continuing to be curious about what areas in my life do I think I can show up for on my own, and then praying to see the truth about that. Mike talks about relationships, especially intimate relationships, being some of the last places where we will show up not trying to play God. I'm sorry, trying to play God, not being self-sufficient. The last place I will bring God into something is usually my, because there's a lot at stake. I want this to be a certain way. I want it to look a certain way. I want to arrange this show to go off this way. It means a lot to me. And those are the hardest ones to place into God's care and say, this is going to go however it goes. And I'm okay with that, because today it's beautiful. Last night, my husband and I, we were navigating some rocky terrain. We're both in ACA. And so there's a lot that comes up and little buttons are exposed and, you know, we bump into each other, but it all ended that night beautifully. And we understand ourselves better. And I really hope as y'all go through, I don't know if you're actively in this step or it's just a topic for the meeting, but I hope that when you do come to this, if you do come to this, that the ideal is a really beautiful opportunity for you to write a letter to God, with God, and accept the direction that is available to you. So that's it. Thank you.